You're listening to a Pave Media show.
Visit pavemedia.net for more podcasts and video entertainment.
Oh, hello, dear listener. Welcome aboard the pre-show elevator. Now, before I take you to the show floor, I must warn you, this episode does contain some explicit words, such as and now, if you don't want to hear such things, I'd suggest you get off here. Oh, you're still here? Wonderful! I'm so glad you decided to stay. We have a great show for you tonight. Well, here's our stop. Enjoy the show. And now, let's get contextual.
Let's get contextual and conceptual about these movies, comic books, and TV shows, and ask all books, character, to this scenario. Let's get contextual.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Let's Get Contextual, the podcast where we give you context on your favorite, or maybe just unknown, movies, TV shows, and comic books. My name, as always, is Dante, and with me this week, I have Carlisle and Chris from the Dungeons & Dragnos podcast. How you doing, guys?
We're doing okay. We're very excited to be here because we're talking about something very special to both of us today.
This is so dear to our hearts. We watched this together for the sixth or seventh time
to take notes on it from this.
And fantastic. Then, the very next day, we were at pre-drinks and persuaded people to put it on.
Again, and these are already people that we'd shown it to at a different pre-drinks, so you should probably explain what we're talking about to the people.
The people who are lost by this point. So we're talking about Shrek Retold, which is a crowdfunded gathering of a bunch of different YouTubers to make a shot-for-shot remake of Shrek. And I'll get into, like, I found out, like, why and how this was made.
I just want to jump in there. Your description, you know, it was good, but I didn't hear the word incredible anywhere. So
I feel like a more apt word for the general populace who hasn't seen this is probably weird. But
those are definitely not mutually exclusive things, though. I would never stand and say that it's not an odd experience.
Yeah. So this happened because Carlisle, I don't remember why or when really, but Carlisle for some reason was like, dude, you've got to talk about Shrek Retold. And he continued to persist and bug me for the next couple months, being like, yo, when we doing Shrek Retold?
You really resisted as well, but
this is okay. All right, look, I thought it was going to be bad and a chore. Like, I thought, for one, there wasn't going to be anything to talk about. And for two, that it was going to be bad.
I'm excited the way that you phrased this, because that means that you don't think it's at least that bad.
So, I was going to say, I thought it would be a chore to record, and I thought it would be bad. And those are two things that have been proven wrong.
Yes!
Because it's good, man.
It's so good.
So, this, I can't really do my normal, like, what it made and everything, because it didn't, I don't think it made money, probably on copyright grounds. Yeah. If it did, it went to various people. But like I said, it was a crowdfunded project. It was organized, it was the brainchild of and organized by Grant, what's his last name? Dufferin. And he's the guy that has made Shrek Fests, if you know what those are, and I'll get into all that later. But yeah, so it's basically a bunch of different, over 200 people got together, and each of them took, like, a scene and made it. And it's a shot-for-shot remake of Shrek.
Stylistically, so yeah, it's Shrek remade by just a staggering amount of people, and that means that the animation choice, the voice actors, yeah, the setting, all change dramatically every 20 or 30 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. It's everybody did it in their own style. And so the style changes like that, just over and over.
You heard Dante say that there are 200 creators. there are not 200 scenes in Shrek.
Yeah.
Some of these people have their work on screen for less than a second, and it really contributes to this bizarre, eclectic feeling.
It does feel like an absolute fucking fever dream. Like, as we said, me and Chris have watched it together a staggering amount of times. And we've watched it even more times than that separately. And every time I think I notice something that I'm like, that's fucking weird. Why is that?
Absolutely. And there's a great mixture too. Like, sometimes there will be like a real background, but then like animated characters on top of it or stuff like that. It's kind of fun. So what's your guys' first experience with Shrek? How'd you find Shrek Retold?
So I think the way a lot of people got into it was the same as me. There was just a big thread on the front page of Reddit, just sort of declaring that this was art. And I've never agreed with a statement more strongly.
Chris came into my room one day and was like, have you seen this? I was like, I think I've heard of it, but I've not seen it yet. So then we watched it for the first time. God, what an experience. The thing that I find probably the most entertaining about it is the fluctuation in quality. Between, like, there'll be the laziest possible remaking technique you could think of, where like just be two people in live action having the conversation with no effort to like match the setting or the tone, or often just one person talking to themselves, and then that will be cut up with some of the most gorgeous animation you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And that'll be a turnover of like every 20 seconds. You've got something that you can't imagine took more than the length of the video that it is to make. And something that you imagine someone slaved away at for days for like 4 seconds of content.
Yeah, yeah. It's really weird, man. Like, it's so... It's eclectic, and like, just... the tone changes and the style changes and everything changes, and yet it's still great. I really enjoyed this, like, a lot more than I was expecting. I was expecting like a really bad like YouTube retelling. I was not expecting like this weird, incredible amalgamation of a bunch of different styles and like a bunch of people that are at least at some level passionate about Shrek. Like, even the people that didn't really put that much effort in were like, yeah, I'll be part of this weird Shrek thing.
Yeah, they like, clearly love Shrek.
Yeah, like, that's just mind-blowing to me.
It starts kind of dodgy. I remember the first time I watched it, I was thinking, like, this is some getting through the first time I watched it in the beginning. I don't hold that opinion anymore. Now I just uniformly... I think it's sort of worn me down as a medium. Whereas now I'm just on board with all of it. Even bits I don't find funny, I'm like, I look forward to. Everything, even just if you take away the fact that you're like, what am I watching? What is this just wave of nonsense that I'm being subjugated to? Everything... past the point where they get to Duloc, I'm going to speak as if the people listening to this know the plot of Shrek, and I imagine that they do.
Yeah, they have to.
Otherwise, something we like just this did an could episode never Shrek, exist. Right? But everything after they get to Duloc onwards, I think, is so thoroughly entertaining, beyond a just what am I watching level, where there's just actual, like, really good parody segments, really good retold segments, really lazy bits that are funny because they're so lazy.
And
we've kept rewatching this, there are sections that I am dreading as I know we're coming towards them. And it's just this deeper level of sort of cult enjoyment of these horrible things. I mean, the scene where a man proclaims that he's never seen Shrek in his life, and instead of recreating the scene, just says Shrek in various different ways for 30 to 40 seconds.
The thing
he's
about
got, like,
that
one
scene,
of the longest segments in the movie.
The thing about that is, I think we agree that it's not funny. Right. His monologue it's isn't bad. Funny. But I do like that scene because you realize after it's over that the scene that it was supposed to replace just isn't in the film. So they just cut that scene out entirely so this man could go on this stupid monologue.
A pivotal scene in the film quite in which Donkey scene. Convinces Shrek to go and
get Fiona back.
Get Fiona yeah. back, yeah.
Oh, I thought that still happened in, like, kind of a quick little thing. Because no. there's a little bit where he's, like, warp speed or whatever.
Yeah, you see a bit of it in the Hallelujah segment, and we should talk for a long time about the Hallelujah segment.
Oh, my God. Because
it's phenomenal.
I will say, the first time I tried to watch this, I got about, I think when I pulled it up on YouTube, I had been about, like, a couple minutes in, like, maybe three or four, and I stopped. But I rewatched it again, and the first scene's pretty good. Like, it's fine. Like, I like that the moon that the guy's sitting on for the DreamWorks bit is an onion. It's pretty onion. Good. But the hardest part to get through for me was the... initially, at the beginning of the film, was the bit where he's fighting off the settlers or whatever. And it goes in, like, a weird, like, drug-induced... like
yeah, I know
animation.
It's yeah. very it's so hard to describe any of these segments to anyone because they're all just but so it's like, strange.
It's like the stuff that you would find after falling asleep for an hour with YouTube on like Play Next or whatever. You know what I mean? Like this yeah. is the crap that's in the deepest part of YouTube. That's like it's everything. All the colors are inverted, and the guy's talking in like a weird distorted voice. That threw me. I was like, oh, I don't like that. After that. I thought it was all right. Like, again, once you get to Duloc, it starts to get better. And there's one scene in particular where I was like, this is actually really good. And from then on, I was like, this is pretty good. And that scene is the anime fight scene where yes. he's fighting the knights. That animation is amazing.
Yeah. And it's got all these incredibly accurate and sincere recreations of tropes from animes. Like when he turns yeah. around and calls them baka and like, you know, the gasping.
And they're actually speaking in Japanese.
Yeah. Genuine like.
We should clarify, this is what replaces the scene when Shrek and Donkey fight against the knights who are going to run yeah. this errand for Lord Farquaad in Duloc. That's set to Bad Reputation. Is that what that song's called?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, Bad Reputation.
And so yeah, instead it's this anime battle, which is, as Chris said, so accurate to anime. It's really so well good. Animated. It's and got like, this great remix of Bad Reputation playing instead of Reputation, which suits the fight so perfectly.
It does have a great remix. And plus, it's got... Shrek is, like, weirdly handsome in the way that everyone in anime is. Yeah. It's pretty great.
Somehow.
Pretty fucking popular right there.
Oh, it was fantastic, though. And I love that it is in Japanese, too, and they dubbed it, or subbed it, instead of dubbing it. Yeah. That was great. And then I watched that. I'm like, this is actually good animation. Not that the other stuff, like, isn't, but the other stuff is purposefully, like, the stuff before that, like, the weird psychedelic scene I was mentioning, is purposefully what it is. And I feel like that's most of this movie, is, like, everything is kind of purposefully the way it is. And if you think that's bad, that's your own fault.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I want to say that's a whole new level of purist when you could say I watch Shrek Retold with subs, not dubs.
But I just loved that. It was so great. And like, just the amount of work that must have gone into that, I was like, wow, that's impressive. And then right afterwards is one of those super low. It's a super low effort one where this lady's like, all right, I'm going to be reading this scene. And then she proceeds to read it.
Yeah. It's a person called Christine Chandler who just reads the script, but clearly like pretending that she knows less because she keeps saying she doesn't know Lord Farquaad's name.
She's like, and I forgot his name, says, and then she keeps going.
And it's right after one of the highest effort parts of the entire film.
Yeah.
So, which makes it even funnier.
It's so great. One thing I love too is when they were compiling this, they didn't. It seems like they didn't say no to anything.
You know? Like, yeah, anything goes.
Which is great. Like, if you're gonna make something like this, you can't like pick and choose. You've got to be like, all right, we're going balls to the walls. Anything goes, and that's what they did. It was just so great. I love that she like calls it out too. She's just like, I will be reading this scene after she's done. All right, that's the end of my scene.
Well, there's a scene later on when Shrek and Fiona are having their swamp rat next to the by the fire when they're walking to Duloc, and the animation just stops and just some high-pitched music plays, and it's just saying, this is me, the animator. This is the scene. This is the guy that wrote Shrek. And then it just says, I can't apologize enough for doing this. And then it moves on with the story. It's just a break in the story for this guy to be like, I'm sorry, this is happening.
See, what I thought you were going to go with was that great music video that happens where they're going through, it's like their heads, it's pretty good animation. That
it's incredible. Oh,
that's really great, yeah.
Never felt so alive. What are these thoughts inside my mind? Could it be love? Could it be love for the very first time? Fiona got a secret.
That's a great scene.
I think that's the only piece of music that isn't a reworking of stuff from the original movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a cover.
Yeah, yeah. It's a new song. So the scene when The musical sequence in the original film where Shrek and Fiona are clearly falling in love and they're blowing balloons out of animals and things like that, that is replaced entirely with an animated music video to an original song about these sequence of events, which I believe is called Falling for a White Girl.
Yep. Yep.
It's pretty great.
It's great. It's a good song. It's a really well-made video. It's just really good, thoroughly animation. Enjoyable.
Yeah. It felt like the bit in Rick and Morty where they meet the gas cloud and he starts singing.
yeah, totally. It does feel like that.
So there's just that really, really great music, but the reworkings of All Star.
Somebody once told me the world's gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking down me. Finger and thumb in the shape of a nail on a head. Hey, now, you're an all-star, get your game on, go play. Hey, now, you're a rock star, get your show on, get paid in all the glitters is gold.
Of, I'm a Believer, of Bad Reputation, as we've mentioned, are all incredibly high effort. I'm a Believer is a sort of 80s vaporwave as the credits come through.
I was going to say, like, the music in this is actually really good, for the most part. There's a couple songs that are kind of not good. But, like...
Do tell! I want to know which ones you don't like.
No, but, All-Star at the beginning is really great, because it's kind of like a quieter...
Yeah, it's a really folky
singer-songwriter, kind of.
Yeah.
You're the music person, but...
Yeah. No, we're on board.
Yeah.
It's a very folky cover.
Bad Reputation. Bad Reputation's, like, electric, kind of like dubstep. Remix. Yeah. There's a great... What song is it that they rap? There's a rap video later. It's pretty amazing.
Oh, no.
The Merry Men. Yeah.
The Merry Men scene. The finest scene in all of this film.
That was amazing.
Probably the funniest
Without a doubt. So, full context. At the moment in the wood, in the film, where Fiona is stolen by the Merry Men, they're just walking down a very shallow hill. A man painted green... Someone yeah, sort of stumbling action. Sideways to be Donkey. And
oh, that guy's great.
Someone who I'm told is quite a big YouTuber, but I don't actually know. Instead of swinging from the trees, a man slowly idles over on a Segway and sort of tears her off her feet.
And then in the next scene, they're just up a tree somehow.
And we transition... to, instead of the Merry Men song, describe this for me.
This trap. So we changed setting completely. So now we're in like a back street.
Like a back alley.
And this trap beat comes in. And then there's a really quick pan sideways. And there's one man in the center of the screen rapping the lyrics to the Merry Men song to this trap beat at about 400% the speed of the original song, and four men in the background doing like the whitest girl dances, like you know that one where you kick with one leg and then you're pumping your fist in the same direction.
Several of them are fucking Fortnite dances and shit. It's so cute.
And so he starts with the same lyrics as the Merry Men song. And that's for about four bars, and then it just goes into a regular rap song, and it's just talking about, like, shanking them with the thang. Things like that. So he's doing that, and then just this guy in green pants and nothing else walks over, the beat changes, he starts singing about, like... He starts singing, all the lyrics are sexual innuendos, but in the least funny way possible. Mm. Like, you can ride on my donkey is one of the lyrics. The beat slows down. He's, like, really playing it up like it's sensual.
Like mid-2000s R&B.
Yeah. And then he says, why do you think my green pants are so tight? I'm a merry man. I'm not trying to hide it. Those lyrics of his song. And then... he jumps the person who was originally rapping, and he falls over and his head hits a rock, and then the scene changes.
We steal from the rich and give to the needy. I take a little cut cause I ain't greedy. I save bad babies, hell yeah, I'm good. Who's the man? Yeah, baby, that's me, Mr. Hood. I like an honest fight and spice to my mage. Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is I like to get laid. That's bad, yeah, right, I'ma show you who's beat. Make your knees go when I shaft unleashed. From a string on a thing, make it twang, twang, twang. When I get to work, make a sing, sing, sing. Get head in the bush, grab a lady by the booty. Girl, you better watch cause it's getting done good.
Girl, you know where this is going.
Yeah,
I'm putting my blade through your heart.
I got my boots and my boots on. You can ride on my donkey. I wear my pants so tight around my body. I'm a merry man, I'm not trying to hide it. My bump is bulging and beating.
And it's like the first time I saw it, I was falling out of my chair. I was howling.
I think that is the most comedic scene in the film. Like,
that was... It was great, honestly. I love that they changed it to a rap, and like, I love that they, with most of the covers in the movie, they went so different. Like, it could have been really easy that they could do one of the many terrible covers, which is just the song again, but with them.
Yeah,
right.
But they chose to do like different styles, and I loved that. Like, they actually put effort in.
Yeah, I don't. There's not a single lazy version of an original song in this. With the possible exception of one, Hallelujah. Which is played extremely comedically. Like, it's done that way deliberately, and it's fucking hilarious.
Which one?
The Hallelujah.
Oh, no.
The Hallelujah is literally just a person doing karaoke, but it doesn't just launch into him doing karaoke.
They got, like, weird puppets?
It's so...
this is the hardest part to explain. Because we've even talked about it. We're like, does this man know what he's being filmed for?
I don't know. Who is this guy?
I know.
They're like, they put his name on the screen like he's a big name. And I'm like, who are you?
So the story stops. And we see a man sitting in a chair. And he's got a hand puppet, which is like a really shoddily put together hand puppet. It's like a big cardboard box with Shrek's head on it. And he's holding it. And he's just talking to Shrek as if Shrek is in the room and he's like a therapist for Shrek. And he's like, Shrek, you gotta forgive yourself. You gotta move forward on these. I know you've got friends who love you. I've seen Donkey love you. He constantly references Shrek in his cartoons, and that's his source for knowing that Donkey loves him. He's like, I've seen you in your Shrek cartoons, and I know that Donkey really loves you. So you just gotta pull through this. And then that man starts singing Hallelujah, but it's just a karaoke version of
it's
Hallelujah. And as he's singing it, he's making the puppet sing it as well, but it's not like a ventriloquist thing. There's one voice and he's the only person singing it. They're both mouths are being used.
There are lots of mistakes in the karaoke version of Hallelujah. And we are certain this man can't be aware of what he's doing because they seem so genuine.
I know. He's the best actor in the world if he's doing that perfectly. Like, yeah. He should be in every comic movie ever.
Like, he's reading it and he'll miss words and he'll have to speed it up because the song keeps going, but he missed like seven
words. And he does this clearly very scripted smile after he says Hallelujah every time, and he'll just stare at him and try and give a really wholesome smile, then launch back into Hallelujah.
Shrek, the only way you're going to learn is to admit to your faults, and you've got to not to control your temper. Just learn to be cool, like the snow on the mountains, like the cold weather, like the air conditioner in your house. And you can do it. I saw you have so much victory and so much on your mini Shrek cartoons.
I heard there was a secret choir that David played and pleased the Lord, but I didn't know really he's good for the music, dude. It goes like this, a fourth, a fifth, a major fall, a major lift, a battle of king composing, Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah.
And as he's singing this, we get story beats from the film. So we'll see Donkey meeting Dragon again. This is after Shrek has... So in the actual Shrek film, this is after Shrek's told Donkey to piss off because he's misunderstood the situation when they were talking in the lighthouse. And Fiona's gone off with Farquaad. So we see Donkey now alone going to Dragon, but it's in the same style of hand puppets, but there's nobody there operating the hand puppets, so they're hand puppets for no reason. And then we see Donkey flying away on Dragon, but their hand puppets are the same size, so it's one of them's just tilted sideways, the Dragon, and then Donkey's put on and he takes up like half the frame in and then someone's just holding it, moving it through the air. And then that's that story bit of that part of the film
dealt with.
That's that dealt with. Then the song ends, but he's not gone. No, it pans back to our man who's sitting in his chair, and he keeps having like a wholesome talk directly to Shrek as like a concept. I don't know, where he's saying, "You can pull through this, Shrek. You just got to believe in your friends, you know, and your lady friends who I've seen, your lady friend who turns into a Shrek."
And then some guy tells him, like, you know, she doesn't turn into a Shrek. He's like, no, she turns into a Shrek. I've seen the cartoon.
I have the videos
at home. That's probably my favorite bit of the whole thing. The Merry Men thing probably made me laugh the hardest the first time. But right. Like, things that I'm looking forward to, just because it perplexes me so much. It's just that, like, and there's some fucking weird things in this film.
Absolutely.
They're all there to feel weird. They're all there to make you go, this is weird because it's weird.
Yeah.
This is weird and you don't know why. You're like, why is this happening? Who's this man? Did they kidnap him? Is he under duress?
Oh, I want to, like, Google him and see if he's, like, an important person. Because they put his name up. They're, like, sung by this guy. Oh, man. See, I think my favorite part just watching it once was probably the anime fight. But I love just, like, the animations. Like, I always look forward to, like, the different types of animation and the different styles they go for. Because, like, halfway through the movie, I'm like, well, I can't wait for the next animation scene. Like,
yeah.
It's really good. And again, the music is really good besides Hallelujah. Because that man cannot sing. He's definitely not well known for being a singer.
He's not like necessarily a bad singer, but he does have a lot of trouble holding the notes in Hallelujah.
Are you sure he's not a bad singer?
I reckon if we found a song more suited for him, he could sound quite good. I'm giving him my faith.
Wow. We love this guy.
We love this guy. Official Dungeons and Dragons opinion.
Oh, God, if you can track him down and we can get him on Dungeons, I'd just... I don't know how I'd be able to move on with my life. Clearly the peak achievement I could ever have.
Let's get an interview with that guy, all right?
Oh, my God, please.
We've made a bunch of notes on the film. It's just sort of in chronological order. But we could just go through if that's time permitting.
I don't think that's fine. A good idea.
Okay.
I would like to talk about specifically the escape from the castle.
Yes, okay. The escape from the castle is probably the time where the turnover between styles is most rapid.
Yeah, because they tend to do it with action scenes. The one with the knights is the anime one is an exception, because like it seems like when there's animation, there's action scenes, there's usually like a few different ones, or like at least big scenes.
It would have been a crime to cut up the anime one with inferior things. But while they're running away from the dragon, we just get this barrage of a million different creations where things are turning over every 1 or 2 seconds at points. And there's some really fun, really inventive stuff happening. In particular, one that comes up a lot is someone's made a cardboard cutout of the scene and they've got characters on sticks moving through a set route and it looks superb. They've lit it under to suggest that bits are on fire.
Yeah, it really, really
looks
good.
Really great.
There's a Lego bit that's quite good. There's several excellent animators. There is about 10 seconds of a man with a dragon mask on chasing his two dogs through his living room.
So the bit is
this is when the dragon gets like caught up and then around like he spins around the poles and whatever. It's just a guy in his house chasing his dog around a pole.
But it's quite a good way of conveying that plot point.
Yeah,
like, you see him getting
because he's got a leash around his neck. This guy, so he's tying himself up around this pole, but he's just going rawr, rawr, and he's got two very excited dogs that are just having a really good time. And the great thing about that, dude, the comedy of that scene really lands. Because we get the superb music of, you know, the really dramatic Shrek theme that's building during that scene, like in the film, and then it just cuts out to this guy going, "Rawr!"
Oh, that is pretty great though. Like, there's one bit that uses Lego of where Shrek grabs the dragon's tail, and I think it's Lego like animation.
Yeah,
like it doesn't look like it's stop motion like the other one is. But it looks really good. Like, they totally designed Lego versions of the Shrek characters. Like, Shrek is one of the big ones, like Hulk is. It's really cool.
Yeah. The final bit of that escape scene is just a man running over a bridge in Dark Souls with Shrek's face from the film edited on, and just clip art, basically, of the other two characters being dragged behind him. So just a sort of microcosm of what the film achieved in that scene is fantastic.
And that as well, that's cut between lots of... that scene is cut between two really superbly animated bits, like, which I'm going to have trouble describing. I'm just going to say that they look gorgeous, and they do, especially when the bridge breaks and the whole team falls down. That's cut between just moving a blanket so four toys fall over, and someone genuinely made that scene look gorgeous.
Oh god, yeah.
See, I like, what's funny is some of my favorite animation scenes aren't even ones that are like big scenes. Like, one of my favorites is the two animation scenes that happen during the layers bit, where he's talking about his layers.
That's a great joke. That's a really good joke.
Yeah, well, because there's one that's animated in one style, and it's 2D animated characters walking through like a 3D world. Because like the flowers are real, and if you look in the background, the clouds are like little cotton balls on a string. And then it cuts to another animation with a British donkey, which is pretty great. Or no, that's afterwards. There's another one with a donkey that looks more human, and it involves the onion being layers, and he shows the layers on like the animated onion, like in the program.
And then he shows the layers in Adobe After Effects, and it's a really great joke.
Yeah, and then it goes to a British donkey, and he's like, you know, parfaits are great. Like, just, they all look amazing, though, animation-wise. And then, like, even if we go back to the castle, like, when they're entering the castle, there's a great scene where it's just a 3D model of the castle, and they're going through that. And there's no characters or anything, it's just, like, a 3D model of this castle.
I think my favorite animation, in terms of just how good it looks, all takes place at the, for the most part, takes place at the finale of the film. When the wedding is happening. And that's another example of like really funny live action stuff being cut with really glorious animation. There's a bit where Shrek's just professed his love for Fiona, or he was about to, and Lord Farquaad started to make fun of him. And it cuts into this weird, like, trippy thing. All the lines expand everywhere. Super cool.
Beautiful.
It looks incredible, yeah. Again, looks like a Rick and Morty sequence, like,
at that point in the film, Farquaad has a strong Nigerian accent, having at points in the film been live action, a fish, Jimmy Fallon.
That was great. Jimmy Fallon. I forgot about that. He's Jimmy Fallon for a bit, and I saw that, and I'm like, why are they using Jimmy Fallon?
The sequence where he's Jimmy Fallon is superb as well. It replaces the bit where the magic mirror is showing him the three girls he could choose from.
Oh, yeah. Princesses. And it's like on a phone, and it's like different, like, weird websites, so, and he gets pop-ups and stuff.
It's, I think, Ye Old Facebook was one of them. Face Scroll, I think.
Yeah, you get Face Scroll. Face Scroll.
Get, Ye Old Tinder. Ye Old Tinder. With D-R-E as opposed to D. And that's him choosing the girls on that. There was a third one. I wrote it down. But I wrote down too many things, because there's nothing in this film that isn't worth talking about.
That's absolutely true. Like, honestly, I was thinking about it. I would love to do a commentary on this movie. Like, because just, like, you wouldn't even be able to. You'd have to pause it after each scene and talk about that scene. Because they're, like... There's so many good ones and bad ones.
It's so dense.
Like, there's a great one back when, like, right before the anime scene, where Farquaad's announcing, like, hey, whichever knight, you know, does the best will win. And then he's like, well, why don't you actually just fight the ogre? And it's like this live action scene where it's a bunch of just, like, dudes on the front of his house. Like, he's on his porch. they've got fake flags with a cutout from Farquaad's house, and
Donkey's just a guy in one of those like cheap horse masks.
Oh yeah, that was amazing.
And then
at one point he's Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, they cut back and it's just a square image of Eddie Murphy instead of Donkey.
It's fantastic.
One thing I think this does really well. This probably helps if you like nearly everyone. So it's a fair enough thing to rely on, know the plot of Shrek very well. But it does a pretty good job of telling, you know, of having some scenes and just completely cutting out the dialogue. Like, there's a scene early on, about 10 minutes in, where Donkey's being brought to Shrek's home for the first time, and they don't use any of the dialogue from the film. They just use audio clips from other films.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly memes, yeah.
Yeah, mostly memes. But the general gist of what's being said is more or less the same as what's being said in Shrek. You get what they're trying to do, even though none of the words are the same as the script. And that ends as well with actual audio from the film, where they say, "And in the morning, I'm making waffles." But the word waffles breaks into a remix where the word waffles is just said over and over again, and it lasts for about 40 seconds. It keeps going on. I'm making waffles, waffles.
Waffle, 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 waffle. I'm making it waffle, 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 waffle. Making it waffle, 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 waffle.
Waffles. Yeah. Yeah. I think I found that remix somewhere. It's pretty great. Yeah, something we haven't talked about. We've all talked about, like, the really good 2D animation. There's some pretty good 3D animation, too. I'm thinking specifically there's one time, I think it's when the mirror is trying to warn Farquaad about Fiona's, like, nighttime thing, and he's like, shut up. And there's, like, a really good 3D animation of his face and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty great. It's pretty great.
Some of my favorite bits are the worst 2D animations, where the 2D... There are some parts of the film of where there's been... Where it's even skirting the definition of a remake, where they've just used footage from Shrek.
Oh, yeah!
So one example, and there's a couple, is when they're walking through the castle trying to find the dragon, and they've replaced the background with a drawing of the castle, but the moving parts are Shrek talking to Donkey from the film Shrek. Like, it's really, it's just plagiarism at that point. And then there's another bit where Fiona... So it's the day after Fiona has had a talk with Donkey, and Donkey's discovered that she turns into an ogre at night.
Yeah, I love
and
this.
And she
bit
comes
so
out of the tower. And that is just the footage from Shrek, but over every character is a smaller video of the same man playing every character and just delivering the lines in exactly the same way.
It's fantastic. I love the way he talks in, he does Shrek too, because he over-exaggerates everything. He's like, I'm doing fine, like, every single time.
probably one of the most interesting things about this is all the various Shrek voices we hear.
Oh, God. Because
there's not a single good one.
That's not true. There's one or two pretty good ones.
Yeah, I'm sure somewhere hidden in there are usable Scottish accents. But there's
most of them aren't, though.
There's a particular one in my head, and I can't remember where in the film
it happens. Is it the...
It's just
a donkey. That one.
No. It's the man who decides that instead of Scottish, he's going for generic British... And it's just horrific. Like,
I can't remember that.
It's like Dick Van Dyke. It's just horrible to experience.
That's fantastic.
Don Cheadle times Dick Van Dyke, you know?
So I think we kind of highlighted most of the stuff about this movie. Is there any other scenes you wanted to talk about?
Oh, we just have a look through my enormous notes list.
Yeah, I think we've got through, like, most of the key points. I think... Someone's interest, I hope, would be piqued in Shrek Retold at this point.
Yeah, yeah. The one where she turns into an ogre, like, after she and Shrek kiss or whatever, is pretty good, too. That's, like, a pretty good 2D animation.
Oh, yeah, that's really beautiful. A lot of the stuff
that one's
that
cut together with a lot of different ones, too.
Stellar. The first time we meet Fiona, her lines are delivered by what I think is an Indian or Italian man.
Mm-hmm.
It's one or the other.
Is this the weird 3D animation?
Yeah, it's a very upsetting 3D animation.
Yeah, like purposefully upsetting.
Yeah.
She looks like a man too.
Yeah. The bit where Fiona is asking Shrek to take off his helmet for the first time is really great because it's a man who's wearing a helmet, but that helmet in no way obscures his face. So more or less, nothing has changed when he turns off his helmet, except for that he's got two fake ogre ears on.
I thought you were talking about the bit right before that, where it's animation and they purposefully do like limited dialogue.
Yeah.
It's like a cutscene from like a Lego game.
Yeah. I love those so much. Like I didn't expect that because they use maybe one word. And she's like, helmet? She goes, and she like lifts it off.
Yeah.
And then the next one is really creepy because it seems like the Shrek guy like tied up Fiona and he's like naked or whatever.
It's a bizarre tone. It's quite disturbing, yeah.
There's a scene that's added into this that isn't an adaptation of anything from the film, which is after Shrek has talked to Donkey about the stars. We just get this weird dream sequence taking place in the stars, which looks like it's a love story between Shrek and Donkey, and it's set to a song about pain. And it's just there.
Oh, yeah.
It's not anything from the film. It's just
I thought that was about either, like, their friendship or, like, him getting over himself or something like that. I forgot why, but, like, I got the impression that it was, like, what's happening in Shrek's head. Like, he needs to get over himself. I don't remember. It is weird. Like, kind of a weird sexual tension between him and Donkey.
As Chris has alluded to, the final conflict with Farquaad, where he finally dies, that entire thing is done in live action, set to a similar fake background.
Yeah, it's like a green background.
Farquaad is a fish. It's just a fish wearing a crown. It's just a guy holding a fish, and that's Farquaad for no reason.
That's fantastic.
And the last thing I wanted to talk about is but I don't know why they put themselves through this. Instead of doing normal credits, they wrote the credits out manually, and someone just has to scroll up on various pieces of cardboard with the names.
It looks great, though.
It looks great, and it's really... But such high effort. Imagine making those fucking
things. Yeah, what's pretty great is there's like
that while.
Sorry, what's pretty great is that there's like some typos and they like wrote it out, but they totally rolled with it. Like sometimes they wrote the wrong letter and so they'll scribble that letter out and continue afterwards.
Good use of rolled with it there, Dante.
Hey.
It looks like one continuous piece, which would be really difficult.
I genuinely think this is one of the most interesting things that's ever happened.
I understand,
It's so bizarre. It's this weird... It's everybody ascribing this importance to Shrek sort of simultaneously as well. Mm. I didn't know it was crowdfunded. But it makes sense that it's crowdfunded.
Yeah.
And do you think this sort of comes from the... like, Shrek is love, Shrek is life, like, that whole meme.
Well, Shrek has become much more of a meme in recent years.
Yeah. And do you think it's in any way correlated with that, or it's just a sincere love of Shrek?
Well, I actually have some comments on that.
Okay.
I mean, you can comment on it real quick before I sort of enlighten you with what I've found.
I think they're definitely related, because it does feel like an odd sort of mixture. It feels like really where memes and art sort of intersect, you know what I mean? It's this film, because like I said, we get this combination of really genuine attempts, but even the people making really genuine attempts, I don't think any of them went home and they saw it for the first time and they were like, oh no, a bunch of people didn't take this seriously.
yeah well, that's kind of what I was thinking, like what I meant when they say like they didn't throw anything away. Like it's almost this weird situation where literally everything is good, even if it's low effort. It's like, well, you contributed, you did good, you know? Like, if you, like, in this film, if you compare, like, the low-budget live-action attempts to the anime fight sequence, they're still, like, on weirdly the same level. Like,
yeah, it would be less enjoyable as an experience if it was all really well done, because I've already
seen then it would a just well-animated be the film
version
again.
Of Shrek. And, you know, it's nice to see some really inventive styles that are used. But the fact that it's mixed in all together is what makes it such a unique experience. I can't think of a single experience that I could compare to this.
I think, it would be so much structurally worse and so much less entertaining because of how eclectic it is if you didn't have the high quality stuff.
I mean, because of how varied and wonderfully inconsistent it is.
That's honestly what kept me going. Because I'm like, I'm interested in not only what's bad, but what's good.
If it didn't have that mix, I don't think it's something that me and Chris could have watched together 8 or 9 times.
Yeah.
But we have.
Yeah. But, like, and if it was all low budget, it wouldn't have been good either. Like, this weird mix of everything
makes it a lot better. It would be good if it was all low budget, but it'd be good once.
Yeah. It's like one of those, it's one of those YouTube videos that you never go back to.
There would be clips of it that you would watch obsessively, but it would be a slog to watch the whole thing.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And, like, even just, it was funny because watching it the first time, I'm just excited to see the next scene. I'm just like, this is really cool. When do I get to see the next, like, weird interpretation? Yeah, so would you guys say that the love that everyone has for Shrek, at least everyone that made this movie, is a sincere love or an ironic love?
Yeah, if this came out close to the time, is the weird thing, then I think this would be considered a derisive comment to Shrek, you know?
Yeah.
If this came out immediately after Shrek, this would be people like saying, this is like Shrek is shit, this is what we did to it. I think this is clearly coming out of everyone saying that we love Shrek.
Yeah.
But I do think it's more derived from the sort of comedy of how bizarre would it be if we did this to this children's film from 15 or more years ago, you know, than it is like, this is great, we need to do something
Well, it's all made by people who grew up with Shrek.
Yeah,
like the one person the one person who's old enough to be like, this is really weird, why are you doing this, is the guy that sings Hallelujah. like everybody that made this film, obviously Shrek had a like an impact on their life, so I feel like the love for it must be sincere, and that's why they're doing it. Again, like if it did come out close, you know, it would be more of like a tear at Shrek instead of like this weird pouring out of their love for it.
Yeah, and there are very few points where it is derisive towards Shrek. There's a couple of moments I can think of where it just has the joke from the original thing, and there's like canned laughter or like Shrek stares at the screen indicating it's a stupid joke, stuff like
that. There's a few ones where it's like where there's one bit animated where he says a few like kind of jokes, and Shrek shut up.
Yeah, but apart from those few moments, it does. Yeah, it seems very affectionate towards Shrek,
and even those few moments they don't feel out of place or
no,
or even bad. I enjoy them; they're really funny, I think.
Yeah. Like I think it's okay to. This is just in general, but I think it's okay to poke fun at something that you do like.
Yeah.
Like, you know, nothing's perfect, and same as Shrek. You
except
know?
For Shrek Retold. Shrek Retold is perfect.
But weirdly,
it's never getting better than this, lads.
No. But like, weirdly, you're right, because Shrek Retold is perfect because of its imperfections and the amount of them. Yeah, it's really weird. Anyway, so I looked up something. I was like, I hope there is something, some kind of behind the scenes or something. Well, first of all, I wanted to highlight something. There's a great comment that's the highest comment that's not like the pinned one, on Shrek Retold on YouTube. And it's from Jen Yen, and she says, Shrek Retold did a far better job of celebrating YouTube's amazing content creators than the YouTube Rewind series has done in years.
Yeah.
And that makes sense. Yeah.
It's 100% true. Like, that is fantastic, because YouTube Rewind has kind of become like a weird music video for YouTube celebrities. Mm. But like, this is the actual YouTube. Like, you know? I thought that was really great.
And like, they're not coy about it anymore. YouTube Rewind is a ad for YouTube. So
yeah.
I don't think it's even worth anyone getting annoyed at it, because that's just transparently what it is. Whereas something like this, every creator was keen to be part of this wide, bizarre, just phenomenal project.
What's the word?
Because I just read the weirdest comment ever.
Oh boy.
Sorry. I scrolled down. It's from Jack R. Cotter, and it says, this is like if I had a foot fetish and Jesus came down from the heavens and shoved his toes down my throat.
Fully accurate.
What does that mean?
Good metaphor.
Anyway.
Integrity, is that the word that I feel like? Bizarrely, this feels like it has more integrity than something like YouTube Rewind.
Absolutely, yeah.
It has more, like, actual love poured into it for widely no reason other than that they love it. You know
despite
what I mean?
Despite the fact that it's a fucking hour and a half long meme, it is a much more artistic endeavor.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, because Rewind is... it's almost because Rewind has an agenda and this doesn't. The whole purpose of this is to just be itself. And to, you know? Whereas Rewind is like you said, a commercial. And the commercial has the agenda of trying to promote it and, you know, you gotta put the big faces on there. So anyway, I found this great video from Quartz, which is like a YouTube news channel.
Sure.
And it's one of the... I don't know if she's like one of the... I think she's one of the people on the Quartz team. I don't know if she's actually the creator of Quartz. But she said that she made a scene in Shrek Retold, and then she was going to tell basically how it got made and why it got made. But the scene she made is the one where Donkey is talking to Dragon in the castle, but it's like the pictures one where she cuts off the jaw of Donkey and moves it up and down.
Yeah.
Which is great. I love that scene too. So she kind of made a breakdown of why, of like how this became to be, and she starts with Shrekfest, which if you don't know what Shrekfest is, it's basically Comic-Con for Shrek fans, and it was created and has been organized for the past couple years by Grant Dufrin, who made Shrek Retold, or at least had the idea to make Shrek Retold. You know, what's crazy too is he's the sole editor on this thing.
No,
what a job! Oh my god.
I mean, that's it would incredible. It is a lot. He organized it, which is a chore in and of itself. But it does make sense if he organized it well enough for them to be like, "All right, make your scene and give it to me, and then I'll just put it in." So it doesn't. It's not like he had more editing to do. The most editing would be making the music flow, which it does surprisingly well.
Yeah.
So he loved Shrek. And so, apparently, this film, this Shrek remake, has actually been a passion of his for longer than Shrekfest had been around. But he started doing Shrekfest, and he just kind of loves Shrek. He's a filmmaker. He's from 3GI, which is the company that hosted Shrek Retold, and he's a filmmaker for them.
Yeah,
I think it's his company. But she asked if he likes... She was curious if Grant likes Shrek sincerely, which you guys were talking about. Yeah. And he said, quote, "I have no idea if it's possible to like something ironically. It's like, could you enjoy ice cream ironically? Could you eat ice cream as a joke?" End quote.
Yeah, I think people who say that they only like something ironically because it's not particularly popular to like something ironically, they must at least like it a little bit for that to be possible, I think.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't think you can completely like something ironically. Like, yeah. I agree with him.
But
if you like most of it ironically, there's got to be something that, like, something that you actually enjoy.
So I would never suggest that these people don't like Shrek. I think what I was talking about was the fact that this project comes more from the meme than it does the love of Shrek in itself.
Yeah. So I'm actually going to talk about that too. I'm not done. I got more. She mentioned appropriated art or parodied art, right? Mm. Which has been around for a while. She showed one picture of somebody that changed the face on Mona Lisa. But this was back in like 1927 or something like that. And she says that she mentioned that everybody always asks, like, well, are you doing this ironically? Do you actually like it? And she's like, well, that's kind of missing the point, because the point is just for it to be a parody. And so she gives an example that's really great that compares the Shrek fandom to the Disney fandom. All right, so I'm going to kind of read a longer quote by her. But basically, quote, Disney cosplays operate within the context and spirit of Disney, because Disney cosplays are appropriated art. in the same way that, that Shrek is, or Shrek Retold is. So they do it in the context and spirit of Disney. Their costumes are sincere, nostalgic, and pretty. And that makes sense, because Disney movies are sincere and Disney characters are pretty. But Shrek is different. The movie is a parody of fairy tale tropes, so the people who dress up as Shrek aren't going for sincere, nostalgic, or pretty. They're dressing up in the spirit of Shrek, which is why all of their costumes are parodies. Like, if you look at anybody, like, at the Shrek Fest, like, people that dress up as Shrek, they're not focused on making it look realistic most right. of the time. Yeah. It's just focused on doing it and having a parody of it. And then she said, quote, "Because Shrek the movie is parody, art about Shrek will also be parody." Okay? Which births Shrek Retold. Like, but it makes a lot of sense. Like, everything about Shrek art is a parody of something else. Like, she mentioned that Shrek memes are a parody of fan art. And ultimately, she got to the point where the Shrek fandom is a parody of fandoms. And if you look at it that way, it really does make sense.
Yeah, yeah. I can understand that. Yeah.
No, you saying that, it seems obvious.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, that, it just makes a lot of sense. And this is kind of where I go, this is weirdly beautiful, Shrek Retold. Like, the fact that so many people got together to make a ridiculous parody of something that they love because that thing is a parody of something else just kind of blows my mind. Like, it's its own thing. It's kind of one of a kind, and it's definitely not like any other parody film remakes. Like, there have been other shot-for-shot remakes of films. I think she mentioned the first one was some kids that remade Raiders of the Lost Ark shot-for-shot. But, like, this is unique in that it's its own... Everybody has their own style. They're able to display it. And kind of... Almost you get a peek into how they view Shrek.
I can't think of a single film that this could work remotely as well for.
Exactly.
You know, because Shrek has that combination of a dedicated fan base that approaches it not super seriously, but loves to love it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And the fact that it's slowly become a series of very popular memes over the last 3 or 4
over 20 years.
Yeah, but like, I've seen a serious uptick in it recently with things like Shrek is Love.
Shrek is Love is actually quite old.
I suppose that is true. Yeah.
6 or 7 years, I'd guess.
Right.
Yeah.
I
mean, to be fair, he came right around like the beginning of the internet, so.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Get
yeah.
Widely.
Yeah.
Things like All Star became a meme relatively recently.
Very true, yeah.
Yeah.
With things this is my favorite Twitter bio of all time, because I think this was genuinely the Twitter bio of Smash Mouth.
Yeah.
At one point it said, "Fuck Shrek, Shrek turned us into a joke, we were finna be the next Beatles."
That's amazing. But yeah, so it's just it's really incredible, and afterwards I had a real appreciation for it. Also, it made me want to try my hand again at animation, because there's a lot of really good ones. The last thing that I wanted to say, that's a quote from Grant, said "It's hard to be an artist and have people care about your stuff, and with the Shrek remake it's like, yes, I basically get to make a feature and everybody's going to care about it." So
absolutely,
yes.
We care a lot about it.
We care a great deal. Like I said, it's the most interesting thing that I can think of that's, like, happened. Like, the humanity was like, we're gonna do this. Just the ethos behind it and the quality of the work.
Contextually, there's no other era where this could have happened.
Yeah, and there's nothing... Like I said earlier, that I can compare it to. There's nothing like Shrek Retold. No. Shrek Retold exists in its own universe. It is the best and worst thing of what it is, because there's nothing that can be considered a contender.
Yeah, and it's weirdly a great culmination of something that's been, like, Shrek itself was kind of right place, right time. But then, like, if you just, if you draw, like, the culture, and then, like, this happening is just a weird culmination of, like, the way Shrek influenced culture. Absolutely, it's really, yeah. It's really interesting. Yeah. And finally, I want to tell you, do you guys know what part of the film Grant did?
Ooh, okay. I would assume the 3 minutes of live action with quite a nice Shrek costume that kicks it off.
The beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, that's him.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's him with the pretty good mask. I'm assuming he uses that at Shrek Fest too. But yeah, like that, it's really interesting. And
I wonder if Shrek Fest would be fun for the same reason that like a masquerade ball is fun.
Yeah, I don't know.
Can you hook up with strangers and bug
people and not know who they are? Jesus Christ!
There's some footage from them, and they do like costume competitions, and like people come up and like some of them are really decked out and others are just like they put on ears and they're donkey.
Yeah, that's gotta be really interesting, because a conventional cosplay competition, it's about the intricacies and who can recreate a sort of more daring costume with like audacious features. But if you created the most accurate Shrek costume on earth, that'd be fairly boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. And weird. Like, Shrek looks really good because he's, like, old 3D. Like, yeah. He looked really weird in live action.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I found. All the things that I referenced will be linked in the description. Obviously, Shrek Retold will be down there. You can check out the Quartz video about it. The Shrek Retold soundtrack is, like, a 36-minute-long video from 3GI, the company. And in the description of Shrek Retold, you can find a bunch of stuff too. Like, you can find a place to download the movie. They have a spreadsheet that you can look at to see all of the collaborators that worked on the film. They got the music and everything. Just, yeah, it's really, really cool.
I should go and get all the music, because actually I love most of the music that's been used. So like,
yeah, I'll send you the soundtrack thing. But like, I was listening to it and I was like, this is actually pretty good. I'm assuming Hallelujah is in there somewhere, and I'm not gonna like that. But
I pray.
So to close this off, I guess I'm gonna give you guys a weird thank you for exposing
me to this. Well, I remember talking to, you know, our circle of podcasters, including you, and I remember you trying it the first time, being like, "I'm giving up on this." Me being like, "You know, you're making a mistake."
I was.
And I feel vindicated.
Have you ever been so vehemently harassed into watching a film?
No, absolutely.
Yes.
I was harassed. That's a good word. Carlisle,
it's me.
Harassed me.
The he harasser. Was
like, "You need to talk about this." And I'm like, I gave the excuse that I couldn't do it until I had talked about Shrek. And he's like, "Well, do Shrek." And he like yeah. tried to get things.
That's true. It turned into me harassing Shrek. You to watch this, into harassing you to watch Shrek yeah. and talk about Shrek so that I could talk about this.
And weirdly, the Shrek episode ended up being pretty good too. Like, it's a pretty good discussion with my mom about Shrek.
Was your mom in the room at all when you were watching Shrek Retold?
No, I live like states away. I live like 10 hours away now.
And are you ever going to show your mother Shrek Retold?
I kind of want to, honestly. I might be like, hey, give this to anyone that hasn't watched it. I'd say give it about 15 minutes. Like, you got to get past that first weird psychedelic one and get to the anime scene to be like, all right, this might be good.
I say if you're not enjoying it by Duloc, like after the anime scene, then you're not going to enjoy it.
Yeah,
but after that, it gets absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, but I'd say give it that time. But after that, I think whether or not you like it is going to be based on that. Plus, I think it's partially based on whether or not you enjoy Shrek. If you hate Shrek, you're probably going to despise this.
Yeah, you have to be very at grips with what the story of Shrek is and what the dialogue of Shrek is to keep a good track of which character is supposed to be which character a lot of the time, because the animation changes and the voice actors change dramatically between
Yeah, I remember you were mentioning that one live action scene where the live action Robin Hood comes in, and I'm just remembering that donkey, and he was one of my favorite donkeys. Like the guy, he just has a white fur coat on and like a bare chest, and he's like, "Yeah, Shrek."
And he's just sort of hobbling away on the side, like you might imagine some sort of fantasy creature might walk.
It was fantastic. But yeah, thank you guys for coming on and talking about this weird experience.
Thanks for humoring me.
We only have to do this six more times, so...
I honestly think I probably will. Like, eventually I'll be like, alright, I'm bored. I have an hour and a half. Just watch Shrek Retold. So, why don't you guys tell us about your podcast?
We are from a podcast called Dungans and Dragnos. It's a comedy podcast where we come up with things to use in a game of Dungeons and Dragons. I wouldn't recommend actually using most of the things that we make in Dungeons and Dragons, but you could if you
unless you're making a Shrek Retold style D&D session.
Let's do a Shrek Retold themed episode.
There are some very entertaining clips of us on YouTube to get you into the podcast, and hopefully that'll help you tolerate the rest of it.
Yeah, so it's very fun. Go check it out. There'll be links in the description. I'm not going to do the rest of Carlisle's because
that's he's been on the show. I'll just plug Dungans today. I've got Chris with me, so I'll do Dungans.
He's been on the show multiple times. If you want to find more from Carlisle, go back to one of the other episodes he's on. And yeah, if you want to find us, all of our links will be at pavemedia.net/letsgetcontextual. What do you think of Shrek Retold? I didn't do like an audience response because I didn't think many people had seen it, and it was a little last minute. But yeah, let us know what you think, and if you like it, and if you agree with our opinions. And finally, I forgot to ask this earlier. Do you guys think Shrek Retold is art?
Yes, 16 out of 10.
I don't think anyone could posit a reasonable definition of art to me that doesn't include Shrek Retold, and if it did, I would reject it on the basis
that it doesn't include Shrek Retold.
Absolutely. I agree. I think Shrek Retold is art. It's weird art, but it's art. So, yeah, absolutely. And with that, audience, people listening, whoever that is, we will bid you all adieu.
See you later.
Much love.
La 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 la, this is the end. Nice.